As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 41 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer, as well as Colby and Predictive Index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. In the last regular episode, I spent this time with Megan Driscoll, founder and CEO of Pharmalogix Recruiting. We spoke about igniting and reigniting passion, both within the business leaders and executives, as well as within every single person within the organization. We focused on how to tap into our internal drivers that make finding our professional passion possible, and as a result, ending up with an organization that operates at a high level of performance. Now, if you missed that episode, you can listen to it on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes and Stitcher. And now, let me now introduce my great, great guest today, Kathy Colby. Well, if you Google Kathy Colby, you'll find out she's the global leader in discovering and accessing the power of human instincts. Kathy, you are an acclaimed theorist, best-selling author, entrepreneur, educator, organizational strategist, consulting and speaker, and my mouth and my head are rolling just by listing all these things. You're also the founder of Colby Corporation, the Center of Cognitive Abilities, and the Dynamind Inc. You've done the brain research to prove the relevance of your theory of conation to individual and organizational success. Kathy, you are driven by your instincts to be a thought leader reformer in learning and wellness. Over the last four decades, you've worked with businesses from startups to Fortune 100 companies, schools at every level, and hundreds health organizations and individual physicians. Through this work, you have acquired evidence and experience that highlights the need for the use of conation in these fields. Welcome to Operationally Speaking, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
I am so thrilled and literally so honored to have you here. So, you know, I like to start conversations on a sort of a lighter note. So I have a question for you, Kathy. Do you have a favorite like business anecdote or even a joke you'd like to share with us?
Well, I don't know if it's a joke on me or who it's a joke on, but I would say that I never intended to start a business. I never intended to be a business person. Mm-hmm. And when people ask me, why did I do it? My answer is always because it's what I was meant to do. And then they ask me, why do I keep doing it? And my answer is always because I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I weren't following my purpose. It's one of those things where I don't know how to do nothing, even though I tell people to do nothing when nothing works. I keep finding I can make things work, so I keep doing something.
Well, I have to tell you that watching you at the Colby Conference last October, I guess, in Phoenix on stage, and anybody who watches you on stage, actually, as well as in that more intimate setting the evening before the start of the conference, I have to say that it's abundantly clear that you would be one of these people that wouldn't know what to do not doing anything. So one other thing, speaking about doing and speaking about who you are today, is there in your history, maybe in the early stages of your life, maybe an event or maybe a force or maybe a person that has really had the strongest influence on you becoming who you are today, Kathy?
It's interesting because most people think my answer would be my father. Mm-hmm. Because if you've ever taken the Wunderlich personnel test, as NFL players do when they get drafted, you would know that Wunderlich is the premier and original test for cognitive placement and selection. My maiden name is Wunderlich, and mm-hmm. my father's work in the field of cognitive testing had a great influence on me. But the more I age and the more time I spend just being me, I realized the greatest influence on me was actually my mother. Mm. And I'm sorry that she passed away before I ever got to talk to her about that. But my mother was a homeless orphan. She was orphaned in the 1919 flu epidemic when her mother passed away and her father deserted her, left her alone, and she had no siblings, she had no family. A neighbor took her in when she was just 8 or 9 years old, and she never had a permanent home, she never had a family. And when I think of the stories she told me, I'm the youngest of four, I didn't pay enough attention to them until I was a grandmother, and I started looking at my own little 9 grandkids and mm-hmm. and wondering how on earth did she do it. And then I realized she passed along all of how she did it to me, because I'm severely dyslexic and she was very aware that I had issues around not even being able to write my own name. And she would say, Kathy, you can do anything you want to do, but you just got to decide that you're going to do it. You have to be determined about it. And I think I got my perseverance and my determination from her.
That's so moving, Kathy. Thank you for sharing that with us. So I know that the topic of our conversation is young conation. So let's actually parse that out. So we'll start with the latter word, conation, because, you know, I'm sure that some of our listeners may have heard of Kolbe or the cognitive mind, but I assume that most of our listeners have not. So let's start with the basics. What is conation? What's the cognitive mind?
It's really rather fascinating that conation is considered one of the most obscure words in the English language. And yet it is the word derived from the ancient philosopher's word conitas, mm-hmm. meaning effort or actions. And conation is the part of the brain through which we take all action and we react and interact. So it is literally our determination, our gumption, our drive. It's what determines how we do what we do. We lost all knowledge of it in academia. At the same time, my father and others were working so much on cognitive. IQ became important in the end of the 1900s. And at that point, it was actually It was in the end of the 1800s, so 1890s. That whole century after that was clogged and just overrun with IQ this and IQ that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my work in about 1985 that anybody started relooking at the conative. And I was really frustrated that I couldn't find a single academic anywhere in the world who had any research on conation. So all the research I've done has had to be original research on that issue of how we take action.
Yes. So how we take action, of course, you created these models of creativity that have the various parts of the mind, in a sense, kind of shown how they actually participate in the act of creation. And, you know, when we say creation, we don't necessarily mean what most people may think of as, I don't know, original creation, as in artistry or something like this. We're talking about creating anything, right? So one thing that you are extremely known for is creating these wonderful assessments, which obviously bear your last name, the Kolbe assessments, Kolbe A, for example. So what are the assessments? What is it really that the Kolbe assessments, let's focus on Kolbe A for a second, really assess?
The Kolbe A index, and I just labeled the first three indexes A, B, C for simplicity.
Right.
The A in the Kolbe index is the one that tells us our instinctive strengths. And it actually, I found many years after I developed it, that what I was measuring, to my own great surprise, was modus operandi. The modes of action that we use, or the pattern of our natural behavior, that modus operandi, again, mentioned by the ancient philosophers, was never considered to be able to be measurable. And actually, what I measured and still do is the MO of the individual. So it is your pattern for taking action, what you will and won't do.
So so offer our listeners a short example. So I'll open up here. I'll make myself totally vulnerable here. So I am an 8543. What can you tell me in 1 minute about me?
Well, what I know from those numbers, 8543, they relate to four instincts that I find make up the modus operandi. The first action mode in those numbers is the fact finder. And you being an eight, you're very thorough. You've read my work, you've listened to my speeches, and you've gone to the website and you've gathered information. That's what a person who is a 7 to 10 in fact finder would do. So you're a strategist and a detail guy. The two middle numbers that you have, they're both in the middle on a scale of 1 to 10. So you accommodate both systems and innovation. So you would be a guy who would be very good at quantifying information and providing details to people who have a need for putting it into a system and for using it in a unique way. And then your fourth number deals with whether you are abstract or concrete. You're a guy who can do this interview without seeing me. You can work without having to be in the room with someone. You can be an excellent consultant and advisor by phone, and very few people can do it as well as you would.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, listen, this is quite a treat to have those numbers that have been with me for, now maybe 4 years, actually quickly and briefly interpreted by the person who the numbers actually bear the name of. So we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about conation, but from, in a sense, from the other end of the spectrum or of the interest. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Kathy Colby, founder of Colby Corporation and Dynamind Inc., and creator of the Theory of Conation. So, Kathy, before the break, we spoke about conation, the cognitive mind, and the Colby assessment. Very briefly, why is this important to business? And then I'll turn it around to talk about something that is directed towards business, but not located in it. But first of all, why is this all this stuff important to business? Because, of course, most of our listeners are business leaders.
Well, having run a business for over 40 years and consulted with thousands of business people, one of the things that I can say without a doubt in my mind is businesses need to know more than how smart somebody is. It just doesn't work to hire people who got great grades, good SAT scores. They know a lot. Because sometimes the smartest person in the room is not the person who should be making the decision. Sometimes it's the person who has good common sense. It's the person who trusts their instincts. It's the person who can figure out how to do creative problem solving. Without knowing your cognitive MO, without knowing who you are and knowing that same strength in other people, you don't know who to turn to at the moment that you need to get the right answer. You also don't know how to put a mix of people together so that you'll have the synergy of cognitive differences. And that means people who solve problems in different ways. If we have a room full of people like you who are wonderful at coming up with information and the details, we would have analysis paralysis. You'd all argue about the facts. Mm-hmm. What we need is someone like you who has the facts and then someone like me who doesn't pay much attention to the details. I'm a theorist. I look at the overview. I look at the bottom line. Together, we would get much more done. So conation is important not only because we don't get bogged down in too much of one kind of person or solution, we also don't get bogged down in overthinking problems or sometimes in the emotional attachment. I just love this guy. I'm going to hire him. He's so great. He's so much fun. You know, sometimes the person who's the most fun is not the best hire. So it's important for business owners to know all three parts of the mind, the cognitive intelligence, the affective social style. But if you don't know the third, how they're going to get things done, you can't really put together a good team or manage the right way.
Absolutely. And of course, doing, I mean, at the end of the day, doing stuff, taking action is what business is all about, right? That's where the results come from.
It's interesting because people have asked me, well, is there the right MO to marry? And I say, well, not so much, because a marriage is often and mostly, I would hope, based on emotions. Mm-hmm. In the office and in the workplace, it has to be based on what we do. It's the work. It's getting things done, as you say. We want to like the people we're working with. But as a matter of fact, sometimes you don't necessarily like somebody, but together you get the right product. You get the right pricing. You maybe don't go out for a beer later, but you sure as heck want to be on the team with that person. So the cognitive is the most important issue in the workplace.
Absolutely. So, you know, work, I mean, or businesses are nothing but, you know, groups of people trying to get done something that's common. And they use tools, assessments, such as the Colby A and B and C assessments to try to figure out whether such and such candidate is the right person from a cognitive perspective for this particular job that we have open. But let's turn that 180 degrees and look from the perspective of the individual, that person who's trying to figure out not how to get into this particular company, but more generically, what is it that he or she should be doing in their, say, professional life, okay? So that brings us to one of your current passions or your current lines of work, which you termed UpGig. So what is UpGig?
Well, UpGig, first of all, a name I made up, O-P-G-I-G. Mm-hmm. And UpGig is a career assessment program that says, okay, we have all this data at Colby. And by the way, Colby's with a K, K-O-L-B-E. Right. We take the Colby indexes and look at all the data for about 1.5 million people have taken the Colby A. The Colby B tells us what you believe you have to do in your job to be successful. The Colby C tells us what people who evaluate the job believe is necessary to do in terms of the cognitive MO. So we know what job holders and job evaluators believe is important in terms of the person's MO to be successful on the job. And we have data for over 4 decades on well over 2,000-3,000 different careers. I've taken all that data and put together a program that says if your MO, and if we take your MO, so we don't have to say if, your MO is that you initiate in the fact finder details and you accommodate systems and risk, and you do it in an abstract way, well, now I can look at all this data and I've put together algorithms that say, okay, what are you interested in? I know your MO, and you tell me, well, my interest is in business and in communication. And I say, okay, business and communication being your first two areas out of 15 areas that we have, I would use your interests and I would use your MO and tell you, and I happen to know some things that would tell you, that you'd be a very good blogger. You'd be a very good consultant. You'd be a very good marketer. You'd be good at a number of things that our data shows us are suited to people with your MO and your interests. So it's not a matter like the Cooter and other tests just telling you, oh, you have these interests well, then, you know, go be a circus clown or go be a whatever you're interested in. No, be within whatever field of interest you have, the type of role or expert that fits who you are cognitively. And with this data, we're not making it up the way most career programs do. We've got validated information. Now, right now, over 70% of job holders are unhappy in their job. We're changing that. People who take op gig at whatever age are in work that's suited to them, and therefore, they're far, far, far more satisfied.
So, Kathy, you could have done anything, you know, when you stepped away from running Colby Corp and handed that over to your next generation in your family, who are currently running the business, you could have gone and done anything. Why did your work migrate in this direction, at least in one part of your work?
My original work, after I had kids, I majored in journalism because I'm dyslexic, and people told me, teachers told me, the one thing you will never be able to do is write. Mm. So I majored in journalism so that I would overcome that. I'm really glad I did, because I ended up deciding I needed to write about things that concerned me. And the things that concerned me most were education and how people didn't get equal educational opportunities. I was very concerned about biases by gender, age, and race. I was very concerned about helping people be all they could be. So I was working, or intended to work, mostly with education. And the name of my business initially was Resources for the Gifted, because I had gifted kids and saw the schools weren't meeting their needs. So we go way back into the 1970s, and here's Kathy Colby working with gifted education, trying to reform schools and programs. Mm. Well, by the time Colby Corp was ready to be run by my kids, I had all this slew of grandkids. I saw schools were just as bad as when my kids were young. I said, okay, I can't let this go another generation. I got to do something about it. So I really went back to home base. I went back to where I started and said, I'm going to focus on education. But in the meantime, having worked with this equality issue, what I also realized was people by gender, by age, are not getting equal opportunities to health and wellness. And there's a lot of wellness issues. I'm 78 now, and my peers, and we're getting older, lasting longer. But the medical services are not there. They've not improved. The quality of life isn't necessarily that much better for those who have illnesses. So I am now focused on my crusade in education and adding to it all the equality issues, and especially as those relate to wellness opportunities.
So before we will talk about how this is actually about your focus on kids and how kids can actually use these kinds of tools such as OpGig, let's spend the next just a little 30 seconds to, if you can tell us, if I'm a working adult and I'm interested in figuring out, you know, really what's the best career for me, where would I go practically to get my OpGig whatever assessment, and what would I get?
Just go to opgig.com. Mm-hmm. And it's a computerized program. You right. Go through and put in your demographic information and complete a survey. It's a cognitive survey right. That relates to you in the workplace. And you'll get an immediate result. You'll get all 1,200 plus careers rated by percent probability of success for you. You'll get your top 20. And one of my favorite things, you'll get the 20 careers you shouldn't even think about doing.
That's great. So we'll take another quick break right now. When we come back, I want us to go back and continue to talk about kids and how all of this stuff really starts with kids. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Kathy Colby, founder of Colby Corporation and Dynamind Inc., and creator of the Theory of Conation. So, Kathy, right before the break, you shared with everybody how a working adult who's maybe at an impasse in his or her career, or maybe is just curious to see what should be best for her or for him moving forward, would go about doing that by going to opgig.com and getting this automatic report after filling out the information and the survey that's required. So, let's now talk about kids and how all this stuff applies to kids. So why should a kid or his or her parents be interested in all of this?
The sooner a kid knows their strengths, the sooner you can be building their self-esteem, their self-efficacy, which means confidence in the way they get things done and their talents. And the less problems you're going to have with their making decisions that are wise. I find kids who understand their conative MO not only value what they do, but they understand they can't do everything, that they need to work with people with differing talents. By understanding that we're all uniquely who we are, but equally imbibed with instinctive talent, it tends to make people understand the value of shared efforts. It reduces bullying. It increases the the power to get things done in groups. So you see kids choosing to work with people who are different from them and not stay in these little cliques of sameness. It is also important because some kids develop an arrogance. They know they're smart. Their parent keeps saying, oh, you can do it all. And what they learn when they get their Kolbe result and see others is they can't do it all. So they learn humility. And I happen to think teaching a youngster humility is teaching one of life's most important and greatest pieces of information. So that's what you get when you give a kid the gift of knowing their Kolbe result. We have a Kolbe Y index for kids who are under 16.
So do you have an example, just a small example of a particular kind of bit, tidbit of information that a kid would get from a, let's say, a Kolbe Y assessment, and how would that kid kind of internalize that, and what that specifically would influence on, based on your experience, having done this with, you know, probably, and you tell me what the numbers are, but, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of kids.
Yeah. Oh, clearly hundreds of thousands. Well, with every adult result, I have an audio interpretation for you, so you can click and hear me tell you positive things about yourself. The same is true with kids. Mm-hmm. When I talk to kids, I don't mess around. I tell them the truth, and they know it's the truth. It resonates with them. So an example would be a kid who has a lot of the quick start instinct, and that's what I have most of, or that's my forte, is being able to take a risk, being able to do something where there's no one else who's done it before, and dealing with that uncertainty. What I say to kids who have that strength is that when they study, it's really important not to do it too far ahead of the test. They need to read or do however they learn ahead of time to some extent. But if they really want good grades, they're going to cram the night before the test. Mm. When I say that, and I often lecture in university classes, when I say that to the kids who are the quick starts, usually the professor glares at me. Very few professors would do well with that advice because they're more like you than they are like me. Right. The quick starts like me laugh and say, yeah, that's what always worked for me. So I think it's important that everybody who gets a result knows I'm going to tell them the truth.
Exactly. Since I'm an initiating fact finder here, just to make sure that the facts are straight, we're talking about kids above what age, Kathy?
It's a reading level. If a youngster is about second semester, third grade reading level, they're ready for the Kolbe Y.
Got it. So that's from a kid's perspective. So aside from just enabling parents to, you know, essentially express a form of love for their kids and their support for them, why is this also important from a parent's perspective in their parenting of their kids?
Well, it's important to know that cognitive abilities are not genetic. So even if your wife has a lot of fact finder, just as you do, your kids may not be driven instinctively to find out a lot of details. So that means they wouldn't study the same way you would. They wouldn't have careers that would work for their parents. It's very important for parents to recognize just because something worked for you doesn't mean it's going to work that way for your kid. So we have parent guides that help tell the parent how to work with kids with different MOs. And I think it's extremely important to know you don't tell them to do it the way you did it unless they happen to be, and it would be statistically unusual, very much like you.
So that's actually fascinating because generally speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you have the real data, I just have an intuition about it, that most parents actually tend to assume that whatever worked for them would work for their kids. Is that the kind of a dominant attitude?
Yeah, you betcha. And the same thing is true of educators. Teachers think, well, if this is the way I learned, this is where I'm going to teach the kids to do. No, what worked for you is unlikely to work for more than 20% of the kids in your classroom. And the same generalization, it's not even a generalization, it's a statistic. There's a 20% probability. That means 80% on the reverse, that your kid will be like you. So there's an 80% chance that whatever you did that worked for you won't work for your kid.
Isn't that interesting?
That being said, just imagine how much bad advice we give our youngsters. And by the way, I've done a lot of twin studies. Mm. And even identical twins do not have the same cognitive makeup. Different numbers.
Teachers should better also go through a cognitive assessment, right?
Yes, and one of the things I've created that I'm really proud of and anxious to share is a program called the Colby Youth Advocate Program. And it is a training program through a set of videos, that a person who's interested in helping kids, whether in the classroom or Boy Scouts or any kind of a organization where you're working with kids, if you want to help them discover who they are and how to be the best they can be, you can go through this youth advocacy program. And you can find out about that at Dynamind, DYAMYND.com.
And how can one get involved with that? Is that something that educators get involved? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, we have educators, parents, community activists who are doing it individually. It can be done in a group of people or individually. We have businesses who are supporting the use of the Colby Youth Advocacy Program in their local school. So they pay to have local teachers have access to it. It's something you can do. It's computer learning. It's just internet-based learning.
Right. So, Kathy, you are a visionary, right? So I'm going to try to tap into your visionary mind right now. So I'm going to actually pose a hypothetical to you. So imagine that the vast majority, maybe all, but let's say the vast majority of the world's population, or at least let's say that our country's population, would have been aware or would be aware of their MOs. How would that change society?
If people were aware of their MOs and what it meant and how to use their talents, their cognitive makeup, well, healthcare costs would be reduced by at least 50% because most stress is cognitive stress. Mm-hmm. It's working against your brain. We would have fewer people who were angry and upset and suffering the stress of insecurities. We would have less bullying because people would recognize the importance of differences. We would certainly be minimizing sexism, ageism, and racism. All these horrible things that are happening in our culture would be reduced significantly.
So with that, on that note, let's take another short break. And when we come back, we'll kind of loop back to business and essentially explore how business can get that actually done when it comes to kids, when it comes to schools and so forth, from a business perspective, especially from an entrepreneurial business perspective, which is, of course, as we know, most business. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serju Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serju Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Kathy Colby, founder of Colby Corporation and Dynamind Inc., and creator of the Theory of Conation. So before we loop around to business and see what kind of role business can have in this whole concept of, not only self-awareness of our MOs, but also awareness of other people's MOs, I have a question for you, Kathy. So if anyone made a movie about your life, what would it be called?
Gumption.
Perfect. Love it. Love it. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, I think if there's one word that people who know me well tend mm-hmm. to use, and I'm thinking about a time when my son was about 10 years old and a journalist asked him to describe his mother, and he said, "She's got gumption." And I think sometimes I could call myself the queen of rejection because to know what I know about conation and to constantly be learning more and have the world tell me it doesn't exist and academics say, but that's stupid. We don't deal with conation anymore. I mean, how on earth do we turn our backs to such a significant faculty of the brain? So I've had to have the gumption to self-fund all my own research, to go out and promote an idea, a concept that people never heard of. I think every single thing I've done in my life, from learning to write my name, to write books, to do what I'm doing with the medical and academic worlds, has taken gumption.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a perfect title. So let's talk a little bit about business and connection. So how can business, especially entrepreneurial business, you know, most companies, at least in this country, are small, medium size. How could business leaders actually further this dream that you have, that people would in fact be aware of their cognitive MOs and apply it, first of all, in their work environment? As we know, we spend a great majority, for the better or for the worse, of our awake time at work. So that actually accounts for a lot of our awake hours, cumulatively, and as well as outside the work environment. So what are your thoughts?
Every entrepreneur is a person who has to have gumption. I mean, they're going up against the odds just to have a business. Mm-hmm. And every business owner, every business manager needs to understand people, because people are their biggest problem. They have right. to understand them, to sell to them, to manage them, to figure out how to motivate them. So I'm always recommending to people that the first thing you have to do, just like when you're on an airplane, you're told if you need oxygen, first put that oxygen mask on yourself, then on a child or other person around you who needs help. Every business owner needs to know who they are and get the help that comes with knowing your Colby result. Then you need to use it with your existing team, your employees, the people you depend on to help you get things done. Then you need to start using it in selection. And Colby Corp has an absolutely fabulous selection program. Mm-hmm. My son, who is a Wharton graduate and an attorney, is CEO at Colby, and he keeps improving on the basic selection program I created years ago. He's made it better and better and better. So I would suggest using Colby in that progression, self-discovery, knowing the team, putting the right people in the right jobs, hiring the right people to add to it. We have so much evidence. The evidence is that when people start using Colby in those ways, they triple their productivity. They double or triple their productivity along with their profitability. So if you really want to be as good as you could be, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And how about outside the borders of business, home environments, you know, social, you know, communal environments and so forth?
I believe very strongly that all of us who deal with business and with profitability should share some of those profits for social good and be socially responsible. So what I try to do is always take a very hefty percentage of our income and put it into community projects. My projects are global now. But if you're in business in a community, one of the greatest things you can do is to support the Colby Youth Advocacy Program. Mm-hmm. Get teachers using Colby in the classroom. Get them using it in church programs and after school programs. You also can use Colby to help your nonprofit organization succeed. So if you've got a nonprofit group you're trying to help, one way to help them is give them a Colby seminar, a mm-hmm. retreat with Colby, any of our programs that involve working with teams. I do a lot of seminars by Skype audio. I mean, we don't mm-hmm. even need the video. We can simplify it and we can make it relatively inexpensive to spend a couple hours with your team and help them be more able to communicate positively with one another, be able to be more productive. So we offer a great many things. You can go to Colby, KOLBE.com, or you can go to Dynamind for the educational and health programs.
So as we are approaching the end of our conversation, Kathy, I would like to give an opportunity to give our listeners a gift by offering two quick recommendations. A book that would you recommend people to read that maybe has had a great impact on you, and perhaps if you so have, maybe an app that you found particularly useful for people. Thoughts?
That's very interesting you asked, because I have neither. I don't recommend books, because as a dyslexic, one of the things that annoyed me most in life is that people would tell me, oh, you ought to read this book, you ought to read that book. It's very, very, very hard for me to read. So I love the internet. Okay. And I actually go in and see news summaries, and I use social media. Follow me on Twitter. It's just Kathy Colby on Twitter. And Kathy's with a K, and Colby's with a K. I know you're an aide in Fact Finder, so you read
books.
I never recommend books. I rarely read books. I skim them.
That's
now,
right.
What I would give your listeners as I'll give them two words of or suggestions, rules for trusting your instincts. One is do nothing when nothing works. And that's a hard piece of advice for people to follow. Because people think when they're having a problem, they should do something about it. Well, part of trusting your instincts is letting them shine through. And they won't shine through if you're trying to be cognitive and think too much. So that's one rule. The other one is be obstinate in being yourself. And if you're not obstinate about it, people will take terrible advantage of you.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. As a matter of fact, point everybody to Operationally Speaking. They may find something of use of interest to themselves. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You'll be surprised of what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, making an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.